It's not working. Is it on? Blessing to be here this morning. And to know that we have a loving Father, and just appreciate the thoughts that were shared about our homes. One thing I think about is Abraham. We know many things that Abraham had to go through, and we probably all know the story of how God asked him to offer his son. And one time I read an article, and it was lifting Abraham up as like he was like the big leader kind of guy, you know, raise a sword, you know, kind of. You're like, no, I don't see this as Abraham. Many times, as God asks us to do something, we're probably doing it with trembling. Many times, we don't feel like we have what it takes. And when I think about Abraham doing that, he told his son on the way up that mountain, he said that God will provide a lamb. I believe he had a trust in God that allowed him to do that. And it was not what Abraham was doing, it was what God was doing. And I believe with trembling hands, he was binding his son to that altar. So when we talk about humility and brokenness and just being a small man, that's what God wants. To be a leader, to be a good husband, to be a father. We can't do it ourselves. You can't do it. But God can through you, and he wants to do it through you. But I appreciated the thought of humility. Thank you. Let's stand for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can be here. We thank you, Lord, for being a Father to us, a God who loves us and cares for us. And more than we can understand. And Lord, thank you for your abundant love for us. For Jesus and dying on the cross to save us from sin. Thank you that we can be here today. And we just ask you to work in our hearts. Lord, you know every heart here. You know the needs in our lives. You know where we are not walking with you. And we just ask you that your Holy Spirit would come and touch our lives and bring us healing and hope and strength. Bring your light and shine it upon us so that we can see a clear path. Just pray that you would teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. One day, standing by a hospital bed, and my little daughter, born early, preemie baby. She is there with just sleeping in that bed. And I gave her my finger to hold, and her little hand wrapped around my finger. And I could speak to her, and there was no response from her. She was just sleeping. A baby that we don't know if we get to keep or not. But it helps us see the love that God has for us. In that place, in that position, it's not hard for us to see how fragile our life is. In that position, it's not hard for us to see how helpless a baby is. How helpless we really are. I'd like to look this morning, if we could look at the wretchedness of man without Christ. And then I'd like to look at God's love for us. Without Christ, we are nothing at all. Everything you have has been given to you. It's a gift to you. Without him, we will destroy ourselves. We become worthless. We are worthless without him. To see this, let's look at Genesis 3 and verse 6. We just want to look here at some of the things that show us how wretched we are, how worthless we are in ourselves. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" So God creates Adam and Eve, and he placed them in this beautiful garden. And it appears that God would come and talk with them and walk with them in the garden. He would come right down, he'd talk to them. He was their friend. So Adam and Eve disobeyed God by eating from the tree which God said you should not eat of. And what do we see? What happens when God comes to talk to them, to walk with them? Where do we find Adam and his wife? They're hiding. Now there's fear. Now they're trying to cover up, and they're hiding. They're from the presence of the Lord. Fear in their heart. Genesis 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Man without God. It was wickedness that became great in the earth. And God said that the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually. In Revelation 6, verse 15, we have here is talking about the end of time, and it's men who didn't have God. And it says, the kings of the earth and great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So that is another picture of man without God. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Here's a story that I'd like to read that Jesus told, and I believe it helps us understand this in a better way. Luke 15. Then drew near unto him, to Jesus, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either that woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread and enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Then we remember how the oldest son, he wasn't happy that they were rejoicing that his brother had come. So here we see this son, the man had two sons. And it says, the younger of them said to his father, Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the father did that. And this son chose to leave the father and go, says, to a far country. And he went there and he wasted what he had. He went down there and he was living life, trying to get out of life whatever he thought would make him happy. He was the one that was, he thought he had his life under control. He thought he was controlling his life, this young man. But he had forgotten how fragile he really was. And then we see how he ran into some big problems. After he spent all that he had nothing left. Then comes a famine to the land, and now he is in desperate need. And I believe this is a picture of us, for us. Without God, that is where we are. In Revelation 3, Jesus is talking to the church. And he says to the one church in Laodicea, Write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So here he's telling them, you're saying that I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I don't need anything. That's what the young man would have said, right? That was, as he went out, he said, I'm rich, I don't need anything. I'm wealthy. I'm good to go. I have my plan for life. I know what I'm trying to do with my life. In ourself, we're going to view until we allow God to open up our eyes. We are going to view ourselves the same way. We're going to say, I'm rich. I got life. I can do it. But Jesus told this church, he said, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness be not revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that ye may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. In ourself, will leave us in a faraway land, hungry, dressed in rags, and left with nothing. That way that seems right unto a man, but the end is the end. In the end, it's death. It will leave us. Confidence in our flesh will leave us, as this Jesus told the story of the sheep that is wandered away, that is alone and cold and hungry and in danger. Many times, I believe, we forget how frail we really are. It was already mentioned how quickly someone's gone. You know, we don't have a promise of tomorrow, but today, God has given us. In James chapter 4, verse 13 says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, ye ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Our life is as a vapor, it says, a vapor. That steam that comes off of that pot you're cooking, and it's gone. It's a vapor. David told us, similar thing in Psalm 62, verse 9. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed in the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. In ourselves, we have no lasting value. Sometimes Satan will come to us and he will tell you lies about our needs. You know, we realize we have needs. Maybe we realize that we're so messed up, that we're not on the right track, that we're not obeying God. And Satan will come and try to tell you lies. He will try to tell you that the road back is too long. He'll try to have you believe that the bondage is too strong, or the sin is too great, or that your struggle is just something only you face. The sin you're facing is something only you face. The bondage to self is something that only you struggle with, and it's not true. He tells you these lies to try to keep you there. So we see that the Son here in Luke 15, he got to a place of feeding the pigs. He was so hungry, he just had nothing left. And it says, then he realized, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. So here we see the son, there's repentance. And if you notice, his spirit is just so changed with repentance. Our spirit, now he got to the place where he lost the confidence in himself, like that he can do this, that he has what it takes. He no longer saying this. Now he's saying, I'm in great need. He's saying, I'm hungry. I don't have anything here in this land. I believe he was at a place where he was honestly looking at his condition. He was honest with where he was. It's like, I'm in a really bad way here. He wasn't pretending. He wasn't. He was like, this is bad. It's where I am. He was honest. Took an honest look at his condition. And notice, he said, one of the first things he said is, I'm not worthy to be his son. I'm not worthy. We talked before about brokenness and humility. Here it is again. The son came to that place where he said, I messed up. I made the mistake. And I'm not worthy to be called his son. And he knew that in his father's house there was plenty. He found himself in this condition, but he knew there was no question in his mind where there was blessing, where there was plenty, where there was food to eat, where there was clothing to wear, where there was shoes to put on his feet. And then we see the father's love. This father, he didn't change. He was still there. He was still there looking for his son. We know he was looking for his son. He was watching for him because he loved him. And he was there. The same with the Lord. He doesn't change when we fail. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. We see the son returning and heading back home. And it says, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he says to his dad that he sinned against him. And he said, "I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." And then he was going to go on and say that he's just going to be a servant. And the father didn't let him finish. He said, "Bring the robe. Bring the best robe and put it on him and put a ring in his hand and shoes on his feet and kill the fatted calf." Here we see the love of Jesus. The Father's love. He was watching for him. And he came back and he knew his son repented when he said, "I've sinned and I'm no more worthy to be called your son." But Jesus extends that love to you today. He loves you. And he's just longing for you to come back to him. We can see the love of Jesus. One day he was looking out over Jerusalem, and the disciples are trying to show him how fancy the buildings were. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." Jesus offered love to every one of those people. He offers love to you. He longs to bring you back. We can see there's no better example of love than Jesus. Him being willing to go through all the hard things to bring us salvation. Give his life. He was there struggling in the garden. Treated so unfairly. But he did it. He did it for you and I. He did it because he loves you. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." So, Jesus came. God gave his Son that we could live, that we could have life, that we could to offer us that love, a Father's love, give us a place of security, a place where we can trust and rest and find help for whatever our problem is. We don't need to be in that place as Adam and Eve were, that fear and hiding from God. We don't need to be fearful when Jesus comes, to be asking rocks and mountains to hide us. We don't need to have fear in our heart to think of standing before an almighty God. Why? Because of Jesus. Because he loves you. Because he died for you. And when, just as the children of Israel, they were told to paint that blood of that lamb on the doorposts, on the top and down each side of that door of their house. And it was salvation to them that night. The same today. When the blood of Jesus is applied to our heart, when that blood, Jesus' blood, that he gave for you, is painted on the doorpost of my heart, then we can stand before him without fear. Because Jesus' blood paid the price. It's nothing you can do. It's nothing you can buy. You can't buy the Father's love. But he gives it. And he offers it to each one of us. And he longs for us to come to be his child. And he is waiting. If you have fear in your heart, if there's sin there, you know there's sin there. Jesus is offering that love, the Father's love. He's looking across that field, longing for you to come home. And he is ready. He is ready. To love you and care for you and give you everything you need if we are willing to repent and come to him. Let's stand for prayer. Our Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. Thank you that your love is so great. You have loved us more than we can imagine, more than we know. You loved us and provided for us when we were that little child that could do nothing for ourselves. Lord, you love everyone here. You know our hearts. And I just pray that your love would be made known to every heart. Lord, help us to repent where we need to repent. Lord, that we would hold on to nothing of ourselves, that we would not live in a selfish way or in a way that to preserve ourselves. But Lord, I just pray that each soul could give their heart to you and that we could all stand before you on that day without fear because of the blood of Jesus. Lord, just draw us closer to you. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.